and how much He cares for us. And even though we go through a little situation and sometimes a big situation, we still see God as faithful. It's so good, you know, to see Mona here. And you know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks back, where we were at with situation, it looked like, oh boy, you know. But and such a upsetting and just like needing direction in the hospital, you know, like how's this going to work and she can't and this and that. But thankfully, we have a God that we can go to and lay these things before Him. And He already knows. But we lay these things before Him and we just say, Lord, we ask for Your intervention. You help. You make things work together, whether it's through the hospital staff or where we can have her to take care of or rehabilitation for physical therapy. And we pray for that. And it's so good. And I know the first few days it was kind of a bummer, wasn't it, Mona? It's like, I don't want to be here. You know, like who wants to be in the hospital anyway? It's not like, you know, it's not like you won something on like the Wheel of Fortune. Like, hey, you're going to a stay in a hospital. It's like, yeah. You go to the hospital and you're like saying, well, this, blah, blah, blah. But hallelujah. I just was so encouraged to see God move in that area. And we give Him praise for that. There's a lot of things that had to work together. Oh, is it? Good. I saw her. She's now her apartment you still maintain for this month, but is it going to look like she's going to be able to move?
I brought her home.
To you?
Well, to her house.
Oh, to her house.
I'm staying in her apartment.
Oh, wow. So you're even in your own home. All right. Well, you guys, well, you figure it out. I was going to say, it sounds like it's working for you and you figured out that's okay. That's it. Yes. Oh.
What are you talking about? We don't really like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And God showed up and just did a tremendous work. And thank you, Lord. Oh. Ha. Got some stuffings there, huh? You got to need some shoes.
Her feet are so swollen that none of her shoes
are
swollen.
Oh, well.
So I just put the yellow sweater.
That looks good to me.
Pretty yellow sweater?
Yeah.
She can't dress better than I do.
I tell you what, she looks comfy and warm. That's good. So that's what you got to have. But, you know, God is so wonderful, and He is so there for us. And so we go through situations. And it's only really, as we already know, probably speaking to the choir, it's only when you go through a situation and you see God perform to what He's going to do that you go, thank you, God. You know, it kind of gets us refocused to say, oh, Lord, You are so, so wonderful. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Could be worse. And it's one of those things, it's like, Lord, it's going
to
get better. Yeah, well, I hear you. There's a lot of ways that you can look at things. And God is there for us to call upon. And I encourage you to call upon Him. I think as we get into some of these things with God today, I want to look just quickly. As we read through God's Word, He tells us things about our future. Amen? He tells us about our future. We all have a future and we're walking it out. Or He tells us how He's going to care for us, you know, and how loving He is. And you've got an opportunity to either, what, believe Him or doubt Him, you know. And we know that the enemy, the devil, he wants us to create, he wants to create within us doubts. He wants to create within us the ability to think that God can't do it. The devil wants to win when he can get us so down to the point of thinking like there's it's not going to get any better. I'm going to lose this. This is not going to be happening. I'm going to take that, whatever. Then we begin to get into that spiral of doubts and believing lies. And the devil is that of the father of all lies. So you've got an ability to either believe or doubt. To doubt, you know, it's sometimes there. It talks about doubt is to lack confidence in, to consider something unlikely. You know, when God speaks to you and says, I'm going to do this, You know, a good example, the past election thing, and we just listened to a little bit this morning. But, you know, you hear those words coming from that prophet speaking these things, and there's probably a lot of people out there probably would have lacked confidence in the ability of God to come through something like this because we see it so one-handed, so to speak. Like, this is so monumental, I don't know how this will ever happen. Oh, my Lord. Well, the same God that got the Israelites through the river, you know, on dry ground, the same God that brought water out of rocks to give them drink, the same God that brought manna from heaven to feed them, you mean to tell me he can't take care of your measly little situation today? Well, he can and he will. And so for me, I've passed that level of doubt. I don't lack confidence in my God, do you? I don't look at that and consider it unlikely. When God speaks something, it's like, well, yeah, right, God. Okay, that's a pipe dream. When I hear things, and even if I would hear things, whether it's the election or whether it's the economy or whether it's whatever the case is that involves something very large scale, you hear those things, and at first you might say, I don't see that happening. But so many times I, and in a way I'm telling the truth, I, Tim, I don't see that happening. But then my spirit begins to think, but what does God say? And when God says something and what's going to accomplish, then I go, I don't see it happening, but with my God, I can see it being fulfilled. Because if it's God's will and his desire, he's going to work through it and he will bring it about. And I think these times that he brings things from, for some of us it has to, and I think even for a nation, maybe it's the thing of shaking us as a Christian nation, if we can use that term loosely maybe at this point, but to kind of shake up the church, shake up the Christian populace out here, whatever it is, to sit there and say, look what I did in your country by moving and doing and having this. And the most recent thing, and I don't want to keep always going back to it, but I think the most monumental thing at this point in time is that of our election. And so we look at that, and I say, how big God was to deal with that situation, and it worked out. Hallelujah. And if it hadn't worked out, I said, God still won. I'm not going to say God loses because this or the other. We've got to get into that mindset that whatever happens, that it's happening for a purpose and a reason. And it may not be for my good right now, but it will be something to either draw me closer to him, because I'm going to have to pray a whole lot more. You know, if this person or that person gets in or that person does this or whatever, the more issues you have, the more things that come up in a country and even in your own person, just narrow it down to yourself. If everything in your life is going hunky-dory and everything's just happy and skating by, chances are you don't talk to God a whole lot. That's just being human. That's just us, right? Praise God for those of us, and I don't know if I've elevated myself there yet. I'm still working on it myself. But even when everything's going good, I hope that I can continually remember to thank God. I hope I can remember to say, praise God. I hope I can remember to say, thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you're taking care of. Now, that's well and good. But I do know that when really we begin to kind of hit a rough time and some things are happening in our life and our families, our jobs, or whatever it is, that's when I begin to say, I need to call on you, God. Got an issue here. And I know who you are, and you're my God. And I just want to come to you and lift this up in prayer. Petition this. Intercede for that. Whatever the case is. And I know my God hears me. I don't have to doubt like, well, I'm back, God. I hope you want to listen to me. I hope. I am at the point, I believe, in my areas of belief that he's there and I'm just going to start talking to him. Now I might say, Lord, I've not talked to you as often as I should. I'm sorry, forgive me. But I have a need I want to bring up for you right now, blah, 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 blah. And I really believe, because my God loves me, does he love you? That he says, okay, Tim, what is it? Okay, I'll take it and I'll move within that situation. Now, what I might do or not do, you may not agree with, but you've got to trust me, Tim. And I say, I'll trust you, Lord. It's your will, not my will. And we get into all the parameters of these things that we get into. So I am past the area of doubt, how about you, of what my God can do. and my nation and in the world, in our lives particularly. I'm at the level of belief where I believe. I am able to accept something as true. Faith is evidence of things hoped for but not seen. My belief, I can accept it as true if God's word says it, but I don't see it in the physical, but God's word tells me, or a prophet tells me, or speaks to me, or gives me words of knowledge for my situation, that if it's from God, I believe it'll come about. And God will confirm it in his word even before it happens. There'll be a lot of things that'll line up when somebody prophesies or gives you a word of knowledge, that they're either answering a question that you had asked God about, and he's going to use a prophet or a person of knowledge to say, this is what you've been searching God for the last 2 weeks. And I'm just wanting to tell you that I sense from God that this is what he's going to do, or God says this is what he's going to be about. And you go, wow, that's what I was asking God about. Confirmations of those things. I've seen that happen in my life, and so it's been one of those foundational things that helps me grow deeper, grow stronger, my faith to be built up, and to believe my God. How about you? So I believe, I accept something as true. I consider or accept it to be true or honest, whatever it is. I just, my God doesn't lie to me. His word does not tell me stories that are not viable and true that will not come about. I just don't find that happening in God's word. How about you? That's why I can go from the past to the future and say the future looks much better. Might have had a great past, but my future even looks better, because as we go to the future in the next year with God, it's just longer time for us to be with him and him with us. And that we can just develop that relationship in an even deeper level. Maybe at a more mature level as we grow closer and closer and closer to him. Just like that. You know, just like that. I choose to believe in what my God says about me as well as what he has planned for me. Now, I'm not going to get into all the scriptures about what his plans are for me and what he says about me. There's a lot of scriptures out there. You can look them up, and there's things that we can look at, and there's some papers we've handed out in the past about who God says I am. Powerful things. It's a very important thing that sometimes we need to look at, every one of us, maybe remind ourselves, wow, this is what God sees about me. So when we are going through some of these things, I think it's important that we respond to God, don't you? God wants us to respond to him. Even when we're going through a terrible situation, he wants us to respond to him. A good situation, bad, whatever. So there are ways that we need to respond. I want to look first, John 14:1. John 14:1. Try to just run through this here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. That tells me that I need to trust him. Do you trust him? Jesus is telling the ones there in the red, let your heart not be troubled. Your heart, for those that are here today that is troubled, don't let it be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. You've got to look at this and say, Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. Now this is going on, and he's going to share about him going into his father's house and making a room, and if I said it wasn't so, it wouldn't be. And that gives us comfort as far as a place in the future when we pass from here to eternity, that Jesus is saying, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We've got a promise there. We've got a promise there. We can trust him that when our time ends upon this earth here, he says, I've already gone and I've got a place prepared ready for you. That's going to be even a much better place than what you've got here. But the first thing, or one of the things, not necessarily first, second, and third in a rating, but one of the things is we need to trust him. Second Chronicles, if I would look at this really quick, though, in New King James, it talks about, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you would amplify a few of those statements in there, it would say this, let not your heart be troubled. Troubled. Don't let your heart be afraid. Don't be a coward. You know, there's things in our life that you've got to just take the bull by the horns, man. When you're a child of God, you've got to go head on and get right into it and say, I'm not going to back down. Greater is he that is in me than he's in the world, wherever the case might be. But I am not going to cower down to what the enemy or what the devil is trying to put upon me, and I'm not going to, oh, woe is me, and oh, poor me. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to fight that good fight of faith. I'm going to go out there and believe with the Word of God, and I'm going to go out there and confess these things that the Lord has said about me. So, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Believe confidently. When you can have confidence in something, that's even more power, isn't it? I can just confidently believe God's Word. Have faith to hold on to it, to rely on it, and keep it going. Once you get going with the things of God, don't stop. Amen. Just keep going. Sometimes we talk about that and you hear it from, man, I'm going to go from glory to glory to glory. You know, God, I'm going to get on this trajectory with God. And struggles will happen, but I'm going to go through them things. I'm not going to cower down to them. I'm going to believe that God has my best interest, and it will be better. Now, another part there of trust, 2 Chronicles, and I just kind of pulled this even this morning, just a minute ago here before we got up here, 2020, and it's talking about, Old Testament, a lot of battles and bringing the people through and doing some things within their lives. And talks about then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of whatever stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with the voices loud and high. And so they rose early in the morning, verse 20, 2 Chronicles 20:20. So they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness, and they went out. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Do what? Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who would praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army, and they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Then they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the people. I mean, there is a phenomenal thing that you can do when you begin to, one, trust the Lord, believe in the Lord, and know that he's there going with you. But look at that. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Maybe this year you need to believe more of the things of God in your life so that this year of 2017, there will be some other things in your life that will be established. You've kind of maybe toyed with it a little bit for the last 3 or 4 years or the decade or whatever, I don't know. But maybe this is the year that you really believe, you really trust, you really have that confidence in God, and that all of a sudden today or this year, these things are going to be established. This is the year of establishment. Maybe that, Lord. Lord, I just want you to establish these things in my life. I want to be a praiser. I want to honor you and glorify you. But Lord, I want to do these things. But Lord, I want your word, your direction, your desire for me to be established in my life. Because anything else in this life is not worth it. It's not worth beating your head against the wall to satisfy man. To satisfy this side of heaven, to do whatever it might be. It's going to be more advantageous to us all to sit there and say, "Lord, establish what you want and let me fulfill it and let me walk in it." But anyway, that ties into this area of trusting him. So 2 Chronicles 20:20 just gets on there, believe in the Lord, and talks about trusting. We ought to have hope in him. My goodness. Psalms 131. Okay, just jump over to Psalms 131. So we're going to trust him. And we're going to hope. We got hope. How many here's got hope? Hallelujah. I've got hope. So what is this now? 131:3. So in Psalms 131:3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time and forth and forever. Now, this is simply trusting in the Lord it talks about. It's David, a song, and he's just going through. Now, let's see here. I don't know if I wanted to back up here. No. So let's look at 131:3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. The kingdom of God, as we're looking at it in this particular passage, let's look at this. It says, the kingdom of God, which is basically righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen? That's our kingdom. Our kingdom. righteousness, peace, and joy. Ooh, in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can be entered by a trusting, humble child. You find that in Matthew 18:3, where it talks to come to him as a child. Just come to him as a child. You know, I don't care if you're 82 years old and you've got some things you've got to trust him about. You come to him as a child and just say, with childlike faith, Lord, my chronological age here on this earth might be 72 years old, but Lord, I'm coming as a child to you and what I need to understand. And he's okay with that. But the kingdom of God is basically righteousness, peace, and joy, and can be entered by a trusting, humble child. In fact, it's only really by that of as a child. You know, it doesn't say, come unto me as a child or an older man or a senior person. God says, come unto me as a child. We have that childlike faith, that childlike trust, that childlike belief that I can accept it as true because I just know my Heavenly Father. I just love him and he's true. He's a true God. So I'm going to trust him. I'm going to have hope in him and the things that he has. And I've already talked about that as we got in 2 Chronicles here, but we should believe in him. You know, it goes on to there about 15:6 in Genesis, and he believed and affirmed, trusted. And this is Abraham. When you start looking at Genesis 15:6, God's covenant with Abram, we talked about that in Sunday school sometime back about covenants and the first few covenants that we've had. But we find this in 15:6, and we know this, and it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, you'd have to kind of go back up, and we know what's happening. After these things, in verse 1 of chapter 15, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, look, God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house? So he has no child, you know, and this is the thing of talking about the child coming. Then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And this is talking about, he brought him outside and said, look now into the heavens and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, and so shall your descendants be. And what happened? Abram, he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur. And it just goes on, replaying the whole thing of what God performed and what God had done. But here again, and this is a story that we are familiar with about, you know, Abram and Sarai and how God performed something that even though they looked at it physically, they thought it was impossible. But you got to have belief. Deuteronomy quickly talks about fear. Deuteronomy 6:13. I really want to go to Deuteronomy 4:10. Let's see here. Whoops. Let's see what we got. I got two scriptures here. Deuteronomy. Let's see. 6:13, Deuteronomy says, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths by his name. But really, if I go back to 4:10, I like what it says there in verse 10 of chapter 4. Is that what I've got here? I wrote this down. Well, no, I don't know why I wrote down 4:10. Disregard that. Well, it is. What is it? Let's say 4:10. Yeah, concerning the day you stood before the Lord. Yeah, my goodness, gathered the people to hear me. I don't know why I wrote that down now. I don't have a note here. I just wrote it by pencil. Let me go here real quick. Let's see. Okay, so we're talking about the fear, and we know in the word it talks, I think it's in Proverbs, where, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and things like that. And we know that there's a fear that we're to walk in. There's a reverential fear, bleh, that we are to have for God. It's not to fear him for that he's going to beat you silly and that he's going to chase you down and, you know, lock you in a room or something like that. It's to fear him as to who he is as God. But if I look at Acts 9:31, and it said, this is talking about the church prospers and things of that nature, but Acts 9:31, then the churches throughout all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So there's a point where we have that fear of the Lord, of knowing who he is. It's just knowing the power and the creator, you know, and we want to honor that. But then, isn't it interesting that you can have that fear, but then you can walk with that comfort, and you got the Holy Spirit there to give you that comfort. It's not a scary thing to walk with God. You know, it's just a wonderful time. And we should praise him. And these are things that you can find in the scriptures. And I'm going to look at here. We should worship him. Psalms 95:6. We're going to bypass a few things here and just go up to 95:6. excuse me. Psalms 95:6. So now remember, these are things as God has spoke to you and you're kind of coming into that relationship with him. It's these things that we need to do on a continuing basis, even when we're going through some discouragements at times. But this one area here is we should worship him. We look at that at 95:6, where it says that, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Now, this is a call to worship. It's a call of obedience, as you would begin to read even in Psalms 95 from the very get-go, because it says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." There is no other God except God. He is the big God. Amen? "In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people." Now, I can sit there and say, let me kneel before the Lord, for he is my God, and I am his. You know, "I am the sheep of his pasture," and it goes on and on and on. And then it talks about, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion and in the day of the trial in the wilderness when your father tested me." And that's the thing that we, you know, when we hear the voice of God, when we hear God speaking into us, don't just be okay with it. Just say, "Okay, Lord." Even if it's sometimes like, you know, you feel like, "Oh, I'm being corrected, Lord." Just receive it as that and say, "Okay, Lord, I want to be better. I want to honor you and glorify you." So remember, these are some things as we go into a new year. You know, we've touched upon areas of trusting him, having hope in him, believing him, having that reverential fear, to praise him, to worship him. And it goes on, talks about to honor him. Honor him, Proverbs 3:9. To glorify him, Psalms 34:3. You know, these are areas of just lifting up praises and just worshiping him. And then the last thing here, we need to thirst for him. How many here thirst for God? My goodness, I need to thirst more for him at times, you know. It's just, you know, if you don't drink, you're dry, don't you? Hey, you get to be barren, and then pretty soon, you know, the wind comes up and the sun scorches everything and it just blows this dust away from you. You know, you have to be hydrated. You gotta thirst for God. Well, what is Psalms 42:2? Since we're in Psalms, let's just stay there. And I think I've got 42:2. I'm gonna kind of close down with this next verse or two. 42:2. And this is talking about yearning for God in the midst of distress. So, you know, even in 2017, there could be an opportunity that you will have some distress. When that happens, yearn for God. Don't turn your back from God. Don't get upset with God and say, well, that's it. I'm shutting the door on you. I've had all I could take. No, grow closer to him. And it talks like this, as the deer does what? Pants for the water, or the water for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Have you ever seen, and even forget the deer, but you know, how many of us have a deer that we can look at? But you got a dog, you got a cat, you got some indoor pet or something like that, that you could watch how when they get really parched and really thirsty. I've seen dogs and that we had that they would just keep lapping up that water out of that water dish, you know, just like, are you that dry? You know, you just hear their old tongue going to the water. It's like, okay, is there enough? You know, but evidently the poor puppy was parched inside. He just needed a drink, you know. Well, are we like that? Are you parched at times? And if this year comes about to where all of a sudden you recognize yourself kind of getting dry or parched and things are just like, ugh, like whatever, you know, you need to have the like that of a deer, pant, you know, be thirsty. Thirst for God. Ask for more of him. Pour it in, Lord. You know, we talk about that as far as sometimes the refilling, don't we? Refill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. We need more. You know, we're drying out. We're giving more of ourselves to people around us or for situations that we're a part of. Lord, we need more of you. It says here, my soul, my life, my inner self, thirst for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, I'm going to jump one last verse. Scripture and all is in 63. I'm going to go to 63:1 I got as talking about thirsting here or panting. Let's see what that was. 63:1. Joy in the fellowship of God. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. We'd already talked one time about part of the things we're to do. Here it is. Praise him. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Worship. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember to you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Verse 8, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower pits of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. And that's just, here we are looking at the joy in the fellowship of God. But there's some powerful things there, just in little scriptures about what God is and how your lips should praise him and lifting up your hands to him. So these are some things as we get into this new year and as things happen. You know, don't doubt him, but believe in him. Even if sometimes it's kind of like crazy things, like I don't know how this is going to happen. That's really, even, you know, when I see those things happening, and it's just like the most absurd thought process that how God would show up in a situation like that just does not even make sense. It's like, oh God, I can't wait for you to follow, you know, do something in this situation, you know. And it could be somebody's health. It could be somebody's job needs. It could be somebody's housing situation. Whatever the case might be, we look at these things thinking, I have no clue how it's going to work out. I myself can't even fathom it. Have you ever been there? I've been in a situation where I don't even have a clue, Lord, other than start all over and wipe the slate and take them back to birth and have them born again. I don't know. You know, let's just start their life over maybe. But we can't do that. But God is just phenomenal. That's when I get kind of excited, because that's when I realize that, Lord, I have all the answers that I don't have any answers and I don't have any understanding. And it's going to have to be totally something miraculous by you. And then what you do when you know that it's going to be a miraculous thing that God's going to do that no man can copy or counterfeit, it's like I just sit back and I say, okay, God, I'm waiting. I'm watching. Yeah. I can't wait to see what's going to happen, but I know you're God. I know you're God on the throne. I know that this is your heaven. I know that you're here. I know this is kingdom, whatever. You know, you get into this process of the kingdom stuff too. But it's when it's really exciting then to begin to follow God in those levels. Hallelujah. So anyway, we'll kind of look at some things, and maybe we'll share really what I had here for last week or this next week. I mean, there's some other directions here, but